But thank you, all of you, for being here today to celebrate our love in Christ and to celebrate Christ's love for us. And this morning I'm going to ask that you turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We're moving on to 1 Corinthians this morning. Chapter 15, we'll be reading from chapter 15, beginning in verse number 20. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's Word this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse number 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one to his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after those who are in Christ at his coming. Father, we thank you so much for this day, for your grace and your mercy upon us. Lord, thank you for loving us and for saving us from our sins. And Father, I pray strengthen us today in your love and in our hope and in our joy eternal in you. We ask it to your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. You know, we've been talking over the last number of weeks about things that are an abomination in the eyes of God and the characteristics that all of us have to fight. All of us have to fight in order to keep ourselves in check and to represent our Lord and Savior in the manner in which He deserves to be represented. It's a struggle at times for all of us. But our hope is eternal in Jesus Christ, and that's why it's so easy for me today to transition to this passage that we're looking at, because I want to remind you of the hope and of the joy and of the life eternal in Christ. And I want to say to you, look to Jesus and live. Because if you turn to the world, you will surely die. You will stay in your sins and you will die in your sins, and your hope will end in that moment for eternity. But here Paul is telling us something that we as believers are quite familiar with, and that is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and because He is, we all have hope eternal and life eternal in Christ. But Jesus, let's talk about this for a moment. Jesus, even though He's resurrected, He's not the first that has ever been brought back from the dead. How many of you know that? In the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha both raised a young boy, a widow's son. In the New Testament, Jesus raised a girl, and then also He raised Lazarus. When He called him, said, "Lazarus, come forth." I just love that, don't you? One day I'm going to hear Him, "Joel." Yes, Lord. Yeah. Come forth, I'm moving you, right? I know sometimes in our Christian walk we get that moment of despair where we ask ourselves if we really belong to God. You know, that's a good check and balance thing for us. But God says once we're His, we are His. And no one can snatch us out of His hands, not out of His Father's hands. And we shall know the joy of life in Him eternal. We just are going to know it. And we should know the joy of it now. And even though we have seen these kinds of things happening in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that people who have died have come back to life, there is a difference between them and Jesus, because Jesus is the first fruit from the dead. And there is a difference. And let me try to explain this to you. Nobody called Jesus out of the tomb. Nobody laid down and prayed over Him to come out of the tomb. No one sprinkled Him or did anything special for Him. No prophet, no other high priest. No one went to the tomb and touched Him and said, "Come out." He did it on His own through His own power, the power of life that is within Him. He went into the tomb and he came out of the tomb by his own power. And there's the difference. He has the power of life and death in his hands. And he says it even in John chapter 10. He says, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I received from my Father." That's the resurrection. That's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who went into the tomb and pleased his Father by laying his life down. And his Father was so pleased, he says, "I am giving you the power to do this and then to take your life up again so that you can walk freely between the hallways of death and life without restriction." Oh, and guess what? All of us who believe in Jesus, we have those same strengths and those same hopes and that same power in life to walk between the shadow of death where I fear no evil. Because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Because of his resurrection, I have hope eternal and joy in the life that I shall come. And it doesn't matter what shadow I am walking in or among, God is with me. And I live because of him. None other. Not because of myself, not because of any power that I have, but because of him. You will never go to a tomb that Joel has been put in and see a stone rolled away because I said for it to move. It just won't happen. But Jesus. Verse 22 says this, "For as in Adam all die." As in Adam all die. You know, that is us. That is all of us. And this is where we really need to stop and think about this. I mean, I really get excited thinking about how I'm alive in Christ. And that though there might be moments in this life I walk with some sense of fear or apprehension about things that are happening around me, I know my soul is secure. I know that my joy and my hope is eternal because of Christ and because he lives. And though the world can sometimes sway me with all of the things that are going on, and if not fearful for my own self, fearful for those that I love and care about, like any parent, for their children, or grandchildren, your spouse, your family, your church family and friends. I mean, there are times in life when we will walk through this world and have some apprehensions and even some fears about some things. But we have learned, though, through all of our life experience, God is with us and he will never abandon us. And I want to remind you this, that no one in their right mind walks through this life thinking that they have their own power over death. No one in their right mind walks into the presence of death, stares it face to face, and thinks because of their own power they can be granted another day of life when death has come to call. Not one of us. We all understand we will die because of Adam. We've seen it. It's been happening since the very beginning of time with Adam and Eve. People have lived and people have died. And people have lived and people have died. Science has never proven yet that there is anyone who can live without dying. Jesus even had to die so that he could take his life again. So when you are in the flesh, when you are born into this life, this mortality, you are born to die. You just are. And no one in their right mind thinks otherwise. When we think about our walk through mortality, we know we will die. But Jesus. Because of Jesus, I know that every day that I do walk through this life of mortality, though I do walk through this ugly shadow of death that is always watching over us, sometimes I feel that. Do y'all feel that sometimes in life? That the shadow of death is just watching over you and hovering over you? Even though I walk through this life, and I know the shadow of death is near, and I know that His sickle is in hand, I know nothing can happen except God granted the power. But I also know this, when the power is given for the sickle to be swung in my direction, for it to swing and to collect my soul, I know it's because God in heaven alone has granted it to be so. And because He has, I also know this, my life is just beginning. My life is just beginning. There is no more pain and no more suffering that is ever going to harm me in life. Because God has called me home, and a new life with Him is just beginning. How many of you know that hope today? How many of you know the joy and the eternal hope that is granted in the life of Jesus Christ? We all should know this. We should all look to Christ. We can't look at this life and say, I have the power to do. None of us has the power to do anything except to be born and to be dead. That's it. And all of the in-between, how much of that do we mess up? How much of it have we messed up so badly that we got in there at some point and said, you know, I wish I could just go ahead and die. You know, I know we use that term. People use that term all the time. I wish I could just, God, just go ahead and take me home. But why? Why do we get to that place in life where we think, I'm just ready to go ahead and die, when God hasn't called us home? God has a purpose. God has a plan. I don't know what the plan is, but I know His purpose. You know His purpose. His purpose is for us to always glorify Him and to praise Him and to show honor and love toward Him as He does show to us. And no matter what the circumstance, even as Paul has taught us, whether I have much or whether I have little, whether I have anything that is bad or anything that is good, in all of it, I have come to know that God is God and He loves me. And He always will. But I know that because I am alive and born in this mortal body, that I am going to face death, except that Christ come and call us home before that day. And what a glorious day that will be. But I know that I don't have an internal memo telling me when that's going to be. So right now, I need to look to Christ and to look for my hope in Him and to always be walking in that hope and in that joy. Because as all die in Adam, so all must be made alive in Christ and only in Christ. You see that in verse number 22? For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Our only hope to find life after we step into eternity is to find life in Jesus Christ. And there is no other way. There is no other hope. And there is no other voice that can call you into life except the voice of God calling to those who will hear. Jesus said in John chapter 6, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. We have seen in the Old Testament people that have been called out of death and back into life. We saw it in the New Testament, people that were called out of death and back into the life. We have seen in Jesus Christ, the only one who has the ability to give life. He told us that He was laying it down so that He could take it back up, because He had this command. He had this love, and the Father granted Him that power to lay His life down. No one took it. No, all of those that stood around Him and mocked Him and slapped Him and spit upon Him and made a mockery of Him, none of them took His life. He gave it. And when they nailed Him on the cross, He didn't fight. He said, I take this burden. And while He was on the cross, He said, it is finished. And they thought He was serious. It is finished. And He was, but they was thinking about it in the wrong sense. They were looking at it in the wrong light. They didn't understand what He meant. It is finished. It is finished. All of that we have to do. No more sacrifice can appease God's wrath against sin. There's nothing that man can do except look now to Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. And so they laid Him in the tomb. They thought it was over. And Jesus says, hold on a minute. I have something else I want to say. And the stone was rolled away. And He tells us that all who come and believe in Him, that they shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Before He went to the cross, He told His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may also be. And one of them said, well, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to know the way? And He stated it plainly. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Me. And so I stand here today and I tell you, Jesus Christ is your life and your hope in this world and in the next. Jesus Christ alone is your hope and your life. And there is none other. No more can we point the finger at Adam and say, well, it's all Adam's fault. Now we can point our fingers to Christ and say, look, because He lives, I live. If we have found forgiveness of sins in Him. Do you know how to find forgiveness of sins in Christ? Because God tells us clearly that we should look upon Him and believe. We repent of our sins. Father, I am a sinner. I know that I am born in sin. It is something I have inherited. People say, I've never inherited anything in my life. You're wrong. You inherited sin, and it's weighing you down. And the price for it is too much for you to carry and to bear and to pay. But Jesus, repent of your sins and come to Christ and plead for resurrection. Plead for a new life. Become a new creation in Him with a renewing of your mind and a refreshing of your spirit, so that one day you can see Him in all of His glory and celebrate that joy in that life. What a wonderful thing it will be. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Because I'm asking you to know Him today. I'm asking you to come and to find that peace and that hope. I am asking you to hear and to respond to Christ. Will you come today while there's time? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank you for the hope and for the joy that you have given to us. I thank you that we can call upon you and find forgiveness of sins. And I thank you that with forgiveness comes life eternal and joy and hope. And I pray, Father, we find it in you today to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?